both because technology poses more hope for freedom than most people in the world have ever had before, and because technology poses more possibilities. I'm supposed to give out a USB key. So it occurs to me that and one night, pretty late, I found myself looking at the stuff that was posted on a FIDO bulletin board in New York City, and I said, congratulations, here's what I've done, when it happens, call me. And I was 2 weeks ahead of the nice FBI agent who went and pounded on Phil's door and said, excuse us, but we're here to find out if you know that you're violating the Arms Export Control. That's all right, it was Joe. Through early 1995. In 1994, we asked the States Commerce Department, we said, here, we'd like a commerce jurisdiction certificate to export this book, please. They thought about it and they said, yes, okay. exporting them. We think the First Amendment line is that you can only... They laughed, too, of course. How ridiculous. Phil was going to be prosecuted. By the early part of 95, they gave up the prosecution, and as you all remember, by Christmas time of the year 1999, the strongest to depend on it, right? And it was unthinkable to reverse that. Freedom called me only after, which is the problem of criminal...
How do you reconcile that some of the biggest friends of the movement are also some of the biggest holders of
opinion? Wouldn't that be a question to address to them? And don't you notice them meaningless as it could possibly be? Moreover, they have going on in a lot of different parts of the world right now. The reconciliation is a process line of the conversations that are currently going on, very instructive and very interesting and very encouraging.
The recent
world's IPO meeting. But it is unpleasant work, and I'm glad I don't have to do it. For us that goes on, I am very grateful to the parties, Jamie Love and others, who have primary theater of positive development. But we can keep a lot of bad stuff from happening if we keep the light shining on WIPO. I just don't want to be front-loaded here. Yes, they're for nonprofits only in order to make the distinction between SAing a commercial licensing business for your software. Better luck to you.
I think if I heard you right, you're saying it wasn't in many vendors' own interest to stop their customers being patent mugged.
To stop their customers making?
Being patent mugged.
It is not in there. It'd be asking of them more than it is reasonable to ask. If their customers went, when I need help, but I don't think it's a fair deal for me to go ahead and say I've gone at it for their shareholders, and I have my business, which is protecting freedom, even from big, tough, bullying bad guys. And I can't just wimp out and say, no, would you please go and do it for me? Moreover, you understand, I mean, the norm...
See the rise of DRM technologies starting to seriously impact?
Yeah, believe me, we are affected. On the other hand, DRM, if you mean hardware, nubs, and $10 laptops and giving them to hundreds of millions of people around the world, there ain't going to be no hardware DRM, okay? That's just a dream of Mr. Eisner's. In a $100 laptop, there ain't going to be no hardware. I announced it in San Francisco. I'm setting it up on Manhattan Island so I can bicycle to it. Even groups outside the U.S. need help inside the U.S. because it's the largest market in the world for the technology they make. And because it is... Yes, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. The question was, what can my software freedom...
Is going to trial in the U.S. for the GPL still such a bad thing? And if so, why?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I would do it tomorrow. I may do it tomorrow. I'm going to have to. And I don't litigate just for the hell of it. That's not a sport in which any smart person engages just for thrills, right? Because a loss is still a bad thing and can ruin your whole day, right? But we will. That's okay. Make my day. I don't have a problem with that. No, we don't need every octave of electromagnetic frequency there is, and airplanes need to fly.
Right.
But what we do need is for every person who lives in every society on Earth to have a right to communicate with everybody else, regardless of whether they are rich or poor, and to learn what they want to learn, regardless of whether they have the money to buy it in dead tree form. We need for people to experience. The manufacturers of most of the cognitive radio chipsets would be willing to engage with us in re-engineering their products so that the parameters of their devices, which make the regulators most nervous, namely frequency ranges and powers, were set in silicon. They would be prepared to remask their devices because they have X, which the Japanese regulators considered most important, and there are guys who are as afraid of traveling to Japan as there are guys who are afraid of traveling to the U.S. because of DMCA. Until we have got some political gas in the tank for a global solution to the regulation problem, just dealing with it at FCC or just dealing with it in Brussels is not good enough. That manufacturer who has asked that question, or whom I have chased down to register an objection, that if the license on the kernel is pure GPL2, then their device does not comply. Further than that, I don't have authority to go. I don't represent the kernel developers. They're not my clients. They haven't asked for my services, and they do not. We have too many friends, and too many of them are phony. Mind you, for all of this sudden willingness in the IT industry to reconsider fundamental patent policy, it hasn't moved pharma a nanometer. In fact, I have it on very good authority that when Mr. Smith left the Heritage Foundation in Washington, thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. It was a real pleasure.
before my time.
Someone turn the lights down. Fantastic.
I tested it.
Okay, I tested it, Nick.
You just lost your network for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why I lost my network.
So you're in this game.
Is that one still on? That's the DBI out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's analog. It should do analog DBI. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I plugged it in next door and it was okay. No video. Well, that'll do. I might sit in here as well. This probably works. So I'm here to talk about... then I'm going to be looking at, as I just said, the hardware and software bugs. And finally, we're going to be talking about Kernbench, which is one of my favorite useless benchmarks that we've been using over the last couple of years. Bugamibs is dead. We actually use the time base now for Bugamibs, so it basically clocks as fast as swap that context out and swap the next one in, so that your second thread comes in to do some work. And when it blocks, you swap him back. With SMT, you basically allow both threads to be running at the same time. They're sharing all the resources of the chip. And I'll get into that a bit later on. So it's up to 64-way. We build 64-way, 100-nothing to do, vector me down, slow me down. So what we actually have is a number of thread priorities that we can switch through. And when there's critical work to be done, we can bump the priority. Or when there's nothing to be done, we drop the priority. So we currently do that in things like spin locks. That's a quick overview of what a Power 5 chip looks like. This is our next building block. So we've got our two cores, our four threads on a piece of silicon. And we build those up. So the four chips in the middle are actually four Power 5 chips. So each of those is four threads. And we build that onto an MCM here with also four roll, but we didn't have the memory buffer chips, which means you have no memory. That presents a bit of a problem for doing bring up. So what Milton and Todd worked out was a fantastic way of actually plugging memory on over an I/O bus.